What do we see when we behold the glory of the Lord? What do we see when we behold the glory of the Lord? Moses asked the Lord, please show me your glory. Exodus 33:19, and the Lord said to Moses, I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And there Moses received a glimpse of God's glory. Yet the Lord warned him that no one can see my glory. No one can see me and live. And so Moses didn't see. He heard. He heard the Lord proclaim. And what he heard that Yahweh is ultimately in control. That God is sovereign over his control, over his grace, over his mercy, gracious to whom I will be gracious, merciful to whom I will be merciful. And in this sovereign will, our wills are transformed by grace. Transformed by grace. And there in that transformation, we share God's glory. For those whom he predestined, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Glory. Glory is salvation. Glory is salvation, sola gratia. Moses couldn't see God, so God hid him. Exodus says, I will put you, God says, Moses, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. But my face may not be seen. You may see my back, but my face may not be seen. Saint Augustine said that God's back is none other than the body of Jesus Christ. The back of God is Jesus Christ in flesh. The Son of God, who beheld the Father face to face, humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so the Lord passes by, and we follow him when we follow Christ. When we look beyond our sin and misery to see our great deliverer, then you see the glory of God. Every time you look past your sins, beyond your failures, to behold Jesus, you see the glory of God. We hope we behold the glory of God and the glory of our Savior. What do we see when we behold the glory of God? We see a gospel that raises the dead. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Lazarus is a rabbinic abbreviation of the word Eleazar. A rabbinic abbreviation of Eleazar, and Eleazar means God helps. And Lazarus was ill. What do we behold when we behold the glory of God? We behold a God who helps, and he helps those in need. Eleazar, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. And so we are first given his connection before we are given his condition. We are given his connection, and his connection is an interesting parenthetical. We know the story, right? At the wedding feast of Cana, where Martha rebuked Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet while she served. She rebuked her sister for sitting while she served. And then the Lord reproached Martha for doing the lesser work. For doing the lesser work, serving. You see, the greater good, Mary, she did the greater good. She sat and marveled at the feet of Jesus. She chose the greater good. She loved the Lord first. And this is glory. Where we get the Greek word for glory, doxa. Doxa gives us the theological word doxology for worship. Doxology, Jesus told Martha, doxology precedes discipleship. Before we can serve, before we can be disciples, we must first sit at the feet of Jesus and marvel at his glory. Love for neighbor begins with loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The order of Christian existence begins with doxology. Worship creates lovers. Worship creates lovers. We draw near to God in devotion to adhere to his law. We draw near to God to adhere to his law. To love our neighbors as ourself. Worship is the heart of Christian life. It is our glory where we praise our Savior and we are transformed into those who love because he first loved us. That's interesting. Parenthetical. But that's actually not why I am intrigued by this parenthetical about Martha and Mary and the anointing. And I'm intrigued because John omits that from his story. It is Luke's gospel that tells us this story of the anointing and the rebuking and the reproaching. But then John here just adds it to the story out of nowhere, like we already know, like we know the story. He presupposes you already know the story. But how can he assume that? It's interesting. How can he assume that we know the story already? Because he knows we're Christians. So he assumes that we read his gospel in the light of Luke's gospel. We are Christians. He assumes that we believe. He assumes that we know that the Bible, that we know the Bible. He assumes that we know the Bible by the Bible. We know the Bible by the Bible. And the parenthetical's good and necessary consequence, what we arrive at this is the doctrine of the analogia scriptura, the analogy of Scripture. The Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. The glory of Scripture, the glory of the Bible, is that it stands by itself and above all things. It even stands above the interpreter. It stands over the interpreter and tells the interpreter the rule of interpretation. You see, the Word of God carries its own authority. Thus, the rule of interpretation, the rule of interpretation does not belong to the church. Notice I said, the rule of interpretation does not belong to the church. The rule of interpretation, the authority of interpretation, belongs to the Scriptures itself. Thus our Presbyterian brothers rightly add in the Westminster Confession of Faith, Article 1:9, I quote, the infallible rule of interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. And therefore, when there is a question about the true and full sense of any Scripture, it must be searched and known by other places that speak more clearly. More clearly is a doctrine is the doctrine of perspicuity. Perspicuity teaches us that the Scripture are clear. Now, some texts are not so clear. Some texts are troubling and hard to read. Nevertheless, other scriptures will always be available to clear up any problematic text. So any problematic text that you're unsure of, just go find scriptures elsewhere and it will clear it up. You see, interpretation of scripture belongs to the church. Interpretation of scripture belongs to the church. But the authority of interpretation belongs to the word itself. Listen to early church father Irenaeus. He speaks of this rule of faith. I quote Irenaeus, one of the earliest church fathers, early second century, late first century. Take refuge in the church and be brought up in its bosom and be nourished with the scripture of the Lord. For the church is planted as paradise in this world. You will therefore eat food from every tree of paradise, says the Spirit of God. That is, eat from every scripture of the Lord. Sola scriptura does not deny tradition. Sola scriptura affirms tradition, affirms the true tradition, the tradition that reads the Bible with the Bible and lives on every word of the Lord alone. When you find difficulty in scripture, go to other scriptures. We read the parts as a whole. We read every part as a whole. And we let the whole of scripture explain the parts. Does that make sense? I've been saying that a lot. Does that make sense? Catechizing my children. Does that make sense? Read the whole. Read the parts with the whole. Then the difficulty disappears and you are left standing on the glory of truth. That's why I love that parenthetical. That's a lot out of a parenthetical, by the way. We got to move on. Verse 3. So the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. He whom you love is ill. So the sisters send this message. They sent for the one who loved them. And they sent for the one who had the power to heal, to help. They sent to the one who helps and the one who had the power to help. The one who loved, who had the power to help. And this is the glory of God. This is the Gloria. So they threw their troubles upon the one who abounds in steadfast love. They hoped in Christ because God helps. And God helps those whom he loves. That is the constant rule of prayer, by the way. The constant rule of prayer is always God helps. And he helps those whom he loves. And so we can turn to the Lord in prayer, knowing that he will answer. We believe our God is so big, we can pray for everything. Little things, big things, all things. And he is so faithful, we know he will answer. We know he will answer because he loves and he is powerful. Verse 4, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It's interesting. He says, this doesn't lead to death. This illness doesn't lead to death, although he knew that it would lead to death. Was Jesus lying? Was he confused? No. Jesus knew that the illness was not fatal. It wasn't fatal. It wasn't Lazarus's ultimate end. Death was not his end. And this is the glory of the Good Shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 28. The Good Shepherd says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. That is what he means when the illness doesn't lead to death. It means I give eternal life. The one to whom Mary and Martha are called to gives eternal life, and Lazarus will never perish. Because Christ is gracious and merciful to those whom he wills. So Lazarus' final words were John 10:29. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and I and the Father are one. To whom God the Father and Jesus wills will never perish. Nothing will snatch us. Death can't even snatch us from his hand to those whom he wills. Now, who wills? To whom does he will? Well, Jesus told us in the Good Shepherd narrative, to those who hear his voice, to those who hear and follow. And so faith is the apprehension of God's will. Faith receives God's grace and mercy. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. And we behold his glory and his promises. We behold his glory and his promises, and we make those promises ours. We make them ours by faith, and they become ours. The glory of God is the glory of the Son whom we trust. And so the Son would be glorified in not letting anything separate Lazarus from him. Not this illness, not his death. Nothing would separate Lazarus from Christ. The glory of God is the revelation of the Word who became flesh so that we might receive grace upon grace. So by grace, Lazarus's end was the resurrection from the dead. He will not die is Jesus' final words over Lazarus. He will not die. Because his sentence, Lazarus's sentence was no more condemnation. And so death no longer had dominion over Lazarus. For those whom he predestined, he justified, and those whom he justified, he has glorified. He glorifies. And resurrection is our glory. It's a promise. It's our promise. It's the life we now live. Glorified. Verses 5 and 6. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, now it's good to be loved by Jesus. That's a great statement. That's a great statement. Those whom he loves. So you'd think he'd be gracious and merciful to those whom he wills. He loves this family. Good news. But then, it's interesting, verse 6, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. Seems counterintuitive. John's like, he loves this family, so he didn't do anything. He loved this family, so he stayed put. Loved this family because they heard his proclamation. They heard his voice. They heard his promises. They believed his word. So why didn't he depart right away? It's the same with prayer, right? We often pray to the Lord because we know he can answer. We know that he loves us. But often the prayers are not answered. Has that ever happened to you? Or is that just me? Is that just me that, you know, I feel like I never, my prayers often don't get answered? Is that, y'all experience that? Why? Why doesn't Christ, God, just always answer our prayers? Right then and there. We named it. Why can't we claim it? Because he loves us. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer prayer to increase our devotion. Sometimes he doesn't answer prayer to make us patient. Patience is a great gift, by the way. Probably one of the greatest gifts God gives in not answering prayer. He tests our devotion. He tests our patience. He gives us endurance, long-suffering. Sometimes he doesn't give us what we ask for because we don't need it. And he knows it's not best for us. But we should always know that his answer is correct. Although he may delay, it is always good. Although he may delay, he has never left us. He is not asleep. He hasn't forgotten. He helps those whom he loves. And this is his glory, never to let us go, no matter how unfaithful we are. So don't think, well, he's not giving it to me because I'm unfaithful. No, his love's not based on your assent. His love's not based on your faithfulness. I will be gracious to whom I will. I'll be merciful to whom I will. It's based on his glory. So he is always faithful to believing sinners. Always faithful to sinners. That's the constant rule of prayer. God is always faithful to sinners. for he cannot deny himself. So he stays. Verse 7, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go. It's been 2 days, let's go. The disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were just seeking to stone you. You want to go there again? They're going to kill us. Is that what you want to do? You just want to go back into the fire pot? See, the disciples were afraid here because they didn't see his glory. Because the glory always shines in the darkness. And the glory always leads us through the valleys of shadow of death. Yes, dear Christian, we are glorified, but we still go through the valley of shadows of death. The glory is not health and wealth. It's not name it and claim it. No, there's adversity in this sad world. Yet the light of his glory always leads the way. The light of his glory always protects. That's the metaphor. Jesus answered, verse 9, and are there not 12 hours in the day? Now, this is ancient natural law. Not that, 12 hours is still the day, but are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. That's this ancient natural law. You worked during the day. You traveled during the day because why? They didn't have, couldn't flip a switch. There were no high beams on their camels, right? They had no electricity. But there's more to this as a metaphor. This is not just natural law. This is metaphor. There's a deeper meaning in the metaphor. Jesus says that as long as he is with them, they have what? The light of the world. He is the light of the world. And they not only have the light of the world with them, but in them. The light of the world in them. See, Christ is God's glory that lights our way, even today. The word of God is a lamp of God's glory unto our feet so that we can never stumble in the dark. And those who place their whole life in the light of God are safe because Jesus is within us. He is in us. This is our glory. Our glory is, it's not I who live, but Christ in me. That's our glory. We are partakers and sharers of divine glory. Christ in me. So Christ here advances boldly into Judea where the disciples would not go or they feared to go. Yet Jesus is saying here there's no danger. There's no danger for the Christian when he follows Jesus, even if there's danger, by the way. Even if we are being put to death, even if we are sheep led to the slaughter, that's dangerous. Yet not dangerous. Because Christ leads the way. This world is this is an adverse world. A troubling world. A sad world. Darkness all around. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have been able to work in the valley of the shadow of death. Especially the Marines, because they're the tip of the spear. They go right into the valley of the shadow of death. Policemen and women work in the valley of the shadow of death. Nevertheless, God will turn it to our good. Glory means we are blessed even in adversity, even with and in adversity. We endure this sad world. When we endure this sad world by faith, we gain endurance. We gain endurance because we have a blessed hope and the hope that never fails. And so our hope rests on God's unfailing glory. So we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So our glory as Christians is our perseverance in the faith. Our glory is our perseverance in the faith because we are persevered by God's preservation. That's our glory. And then Jesus says something interesting. He says, after saying these things, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples are like, oh, then why the rush? Like, if he's just sleeping, we don't need to go back into that hostile territory if he's sleeping. So they're like relieved. Oh, he's sleeping. He'll wake up. He's good to go, right? Disciples said to him, Lord, he's fallen asleep. He will recover. But then John gives us some information. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. And so here Jesus calls sleep death, thereby showing that he is Lord over death. Death is God's death. The valley of the shadow of death, the darkness in this world, it's God's darkness. That is, he's in control. He uses it. He manipulates it. He allows it. He directs it. Not the author of it. But it's not outside his will. It's not outside his sovereign purview. He controls all things. There's a mystery there. He's not the author of sin. He's not the author of the darkness. He's not the author of the devil. But the devil is God's devil. He's on a chain. Like with your dog. You ever have your dog and it's like pulling you and you're like, come back here. Well, the devil doesn't do that. He doesn't pull on God's chain because he's like, whoa. God's like, you can go this far and no further. He awakens those whom have died. That is, he awakens them to eternal life. He awakens. And for your sake, he says, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And so he says here, Jesus didn't go right away, not for the sake of his own glory, but for the sake of the faith of his own. He stayed for the sake of the faith of his own. You see, Jesus' glory is his graciousness that leads to faith. His glory is always there to increase our faith. His glory is there to save us, to bless us, to be gracious to us, to help us, to give us always what we need, the right answer. This is his glory. Our glory. Is that we belong to a sovereign God. That's our glory. We belong to a sovereign. And his glory is our peace. Lazarus' death and following resurrection are not only to glorify the Father and the Son, but are for the good of Lazarus and his sisters. This means that the two-day delay was motivated by Jesus' love for Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and his disciples. Because the delay demonstrated his glory in all its splendor for them to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary and marvel. Behold the glory of God. And their faith was strengthened in the Lord because they saw their Savior, the one who delivers us from all our sins and misery. Even while we are still sinners. So I love how the story ends. So Thomas, verse 16, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us go. All right, let's go die. Let's just go die with Jesus. You got to love Thomas's consistency, always doubting. Nevertheless, out of sheer grace, even though we doubt, even though our faith is weak, even though we have never kept the law of God, without the law, even without the law, God makes us sharers of his glory by giving us all of Christ's righteousness, satisfaction, and holiness. Glory to the undeserved. Glory to those who do not deserve it. Nevertheless, God justifies. Declares us righteous as if we have never sinned nor been a sinner, but as if we've been perfectly obedient as Christ is obedient for me, and those whom he justified, he glorifies. Our glory is our righteousness in Christ. Our glory is our justification. Our glory is our sanctification, growing in Christ. Our glory is our resurrection. Our glory is our new life, and our glory is our new hope. What do we see when we behold God's glory? Look past your sins, past your doubts, and behold your deliverer. The glory of God is the glory of our salvation. So, like Lazarus, death is not our final word. Death is not our final word, for our sentence is eternal life. And we are glorious immortals. Glorious immortals. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.
At Covenant Reformed Church in Missoula, Montana, we sincerely believe God's Word and faithfully teach it. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information, please visit MissoulaURC.com. That's MissoulaURC.com.